Hello everyone. Thanks for joining me here in my talk at FOSDEM 2022 in this conference organization DAFRU. It's kind of meta talking about conference management within the conference, but I think this track is much needed for all the changes and challenges that many of us have faced over the past couple of years. I have organized an open source related meetups and conferences for more than a decade and continuously discovering new things about it. I'm looking forward to watching the presentations from the other experts in this dev room and learning from everyone. My name is Carol Chen, and welcome to my talk on lessons from 6 virtual Ansible Contributor Summits. Here's the obligatory self-intro, so please bear with me. I've been using and supporting open source for more than 20 years. In my previous life, I was a software engineer in Nokia, doing a range of things from testing to S60 multimedia development, to integration of video telephony and multimedia sharing and the Symbian SDK. Part of the S60 multimedia platform was based on the open source Helix media framework, which I contributed to. What got me excited were a couple of testathon events for interoperability testing, where several contributing companies and partners got together to test and verify that stuff created by the Helix content producer was able to be streamed with the Helix streaming server and reach the clients and can be played back by the Helix players on various platforms, including Symbian. As different participants have had contributed to the different parts of the systems, it was amazing to see this collaborative integration and problem solving in real time. So that prompted me to start organizing local meetups, hackathons, and related events. For the next part of my career with Yola and Red Hat, I decided to focus on that, not just the events, which were fun and motivating, but really about bringing the community around the project together and foster collaboration, learning, and growth. Plus, I like to travel. I've lived in 4 different countries across 3 continents and have visited more than 40 countries thanks to my job, as well as a personal love for travel and exploration. I also play in an amateur orchestra here in Finland. Feel free to connect with me in some of these channels with the ID Cybet. I'm on the matrix.org and ansible.im home service, and I'll touch on Matrix a little more during this presentation. Oops. For those unfamiliar with Ansible, it is an enterprise automation platform for the entire IT organization that helps you to easily deploy and maintain your applications and systems. Trivia. The first Ansible release was made on February 20th, 2012. So the 10-year anniversary is coming up in 2 weeks. But I'm not here to talk about Ansible. You can find out more details from docs.ansible.com if you're interested. I'm here to talk about the contributor summits that we have been running since 2016. Well, I actually joined the Ansible team towards the end of 2018, so I'm going to share my experiences from then on. I just know that previously, the contributor summits were alongside Ansible Fests. Ansible Fest is the flagship event, which is more targeted towards users, partners, and customers. The contributor summit, as the name suggests, is mainly for those who contribute to the Ansible project or have a desire to do so. We certainly welcome new contributors. It is a full day or possibly days of working sessions, especially for community contributors to interact with one another, as well as with Ansible development teams, including the core team, content team, DevTools, Galaxy, and so on. At the summit, we discuss important issues affecting the Ansible contributor community to help shape the future of Ansible, with a focus on improving collaboration with our contributors. The wiki page here links to the meeting minutes, chat logs, and video recordings from the past contributor summits. So here's a list of the ANSPO contributor summits that occurred between 2018 and 2021. Even though our contributor summits have been face-to-face events prior to 2020, we have always included an online component to allow participation from those who cannot attend in person. More details in one of the later slides. But the last time we had a physical summit outside of the United States was in June 2017. So while it was possible for contributors in other parts of the world to join virtually via BlueJeans and IRC, oftentimes the time differences meant that they could not participate in the event in its entirety. Since we have a sizable group of contributors in Europe, we decided at the Atlanta Ansible Fest. Oh wow, that was 2019. Feels like a lifetime ago. Then my next major task then was to plan the contributor summit somewhere in Europe for the first half of 2020, independently of ANSPO Fest. I had started reserving locations and hotel room blocks in Gothenburg at the beginning of 2020. And then the pandemic happened. This is a graph that sums up the bunch of text in the previous slide. Yeah, I'm not that great with diagrams or design of visual aids, but it is just to highlight that we went from having contributor summits once a year, somewhat dependent on ANSPO Fest, to three times a year after going fully virtual, thanks to the pandemic. There are definitely a lot of advantages with online events. In many ways, it is easier to put together than a physical event. So from here, as you can see, that only the third contributor summits of the past 2 years were in conjunction with ANSPO Fest. Also note that I moved the summit numbering to calendar versioning because I ran out of fingers to count them. Well, really just much easier to figure out which event is being referred to with Calver calendar versioning. Let me remind you how a pre-COVID conference might have looked like. The wide-angle lens on this camera, which I used to take the 360 pic, makes it look like some of us were social distancing, but we were actually cozier than this shows. There were close to 100 people in this hotel conference room, and a panorama photo would have been too wide to fit on the slide. So you get this animated GIF for a better look. Well, look at us now in little boxes neatly lined up on the screen. Seems like we still need a panoramic view to fit all the windows. I'll get to the setup in a moment. Keep in mind that at the Contributor Summit, it is not mainly presentation driven like regular conferences, but rather there are lots of opportunities for discussions during the sessions. So in addition to video and text-based chat, we needed something for collaborative note-taking and meeting minutes, which is what you see in the window on the right here. As mentioned earlier, even before our events went fully virtual, we had an online component at previous summits to accommodate contributors that could not make it in person. By nature, our community is distributed, and we have been communicating synchronously and asynchronously through IRC and mailing lists for a long time. However, moving the summit to completely virtual was a major change. What platform should we use? How do we make it engaging without being in person? Which time zone should we host it in? Now that a number of speakers and attendees who are planning to fly over from the US will be now 8 hours behind. Oh, I should have put a column on this slide for time zones. But for the most part, we went with something that straddled both the US and EU time zones, as we had majority of the participants from these regions. For the two summits that coincided with the ANSPO Fests, they were in the US Eastern time zone. We also moved the starting time of one of the summits to be earlier to be more Asia-Pacific friendly, although I don't think we saw a significant increase in participants from that region. Anyway, right from the start, I looked at some virtual event platforms that were gaining traction fast during the pandemic, but decided to stick with something familiar, at least initially. Since we have been using BlueJeans video conferencing for our previous events, for the online parts, the familiarity can bring some comfort while adapting to the more disruptive changes. In addition, for us, BlueJeans is fully supported by the Red Hat IT. The upside of going all virtual is that everyone is on a more equal footing, whereas in a face-to-face event, the online audience may feel less integrated in the event. We wanted to keep the interactive feel of an in-person event, so we used the meeting feature, BlueJeans Meeting, where everyone can chime in when they want to instead of doing a one-to-many broadcast. This works well for the participant group size we had in the first two virtual contributor summits, which was under 100 people. When the third one rolled around, we received overwhelming interest from people who registered for Ansible Fest. Based on the interest, we had to change the format. We ended up with 2 days of content, the first one targeted towards new contributors, and the second for regular and seasoned contributors. We used BlueJeans Prime Time, which is more of a broadcast format for larger audiences, as the BlueJeans meeting format could only accommodate 150 participants. From survey feedback, some of which I'll share in a minute, some people had complaints about BlueJeans. So in 2021, we decided to try Google Meet. We were starting to get the hang of virtual events, and it was time to make some changes to improve the experience for attendees. Google Meet, while another proprietary tool, is used by Red Hat and at our disposal. More people are familiar with it, especially those outside of Red Hat. It's web-based and no registration is needed. We had some confusion with the BlueJeans Prime Time registration for the previous event. So I don't think you even need a Google account to join the summit with Google Meet. So it was fairly accessible. Another change we made is moving away from Etherpad for event planning and collaborative note-taking during a summit, as it can be unwieldy at times. We came across HackMD in 2020 and began using it internally in our team. After testing it out for a while, many of us liked it, with the Markdown format, which is familiar to those who use GitHub, meaning most of the contributors. And that lets you format things easily for better organization. We can also share the HackMD notes in read-only mode to prevent people from accidentally overwriting stuff. In addition, it is easier to manage the edit history and access permissions for the notes. Following the Freenode IRC incident in the middle of 2021, we moved our real-time communication channels to the Libera Chat IRC network. At the same time, we also considered adding Matrix as an officially supported protocol, as several of us in the Ansible community team had already been using Matrix for a while. I myself started using IRC way back in 1994 and Matrix in 2017. By 2019, I managed to wean myself off ERC and SSH and bridge my IRC nick with my Matrix ID so I can be on both networks using just Matrix clients. Anyway, in August last year, the Ansible community voted to accept Matrix as an official chat platform for the community alongside IRC. This opened up new possibilities for our events, as a feature-rich Matrix client like Element could embed video streams and other widgets for a more integrated event experience. Thus, for the most recent Contributor Summit towards the end of 2021, we made Matrix and Element our main event platform. We had presenters join a Jitsi session, which fed into YouTube to be streamed live. And the live stream was embedded in Elements so summit participants could watch the stream and chat, participate in Q&A, all in the same window. Kind of similar to what's happening here right at Fawston, except this is not live. In theory, one could also embed HackMD as a widget in Element, although I personally prefer to keep it separate. For those who prefer to remain on IRC, they would have to open a separate window or tab for the video stream, but it is not unlike what we had to do previously for a separate BlueJeans or Google Meet window. At least now the chat is happening where the community already is, in IRC bridged to Matrix, instead of having to keep track of additional chats on the disconnected event platform. If you are interested in our Matrix home server architecture and more details about the adoption of Matrix by the Ansible community, my teammate Greg Sutcliffe will be speaking tomorrow, Sunday, February 6th, in the Matrix staff room at 1410 Central European Time. His talk is Ansible plus Matrix through the looking glass. After each contributor summit, we send out the contributor survey to the community to gather feedback, both about the event and the state of the community in general. We receive dozens of comments each time, and there are a lot of feedback regarding documentation, contribution process, the Ansible project focus, and so on. For this presentation, I filtered the comments specific to the various aspects of contributor summit, like audio-visual, platforms used, accessibility, moving everything online, etc. Many of these comments are echoed by a few others, so they are usually not isolated incidents or an outlier opinion. These are also listed more or less chronologically, so you can see how the viewpoints shift as we implemented changes from event to event. The first one is a good one, and I quote, "Because there was no in-person room conversation, I felt like everyone had a level playing field when it came to communicating." This person probably attended a previous summit online before the pandemic where the main event was in person. This is an important point to keep in mind, as we'll probably see hybrid events in the near future. To not make the online participants feel like second-class citizens again. Perhaps we can have a moderator or host that's entirely online with the virtual participants and taking care of them, instead of someone on site trying to juggle both online and in person. The next comment mentions audio quality issues with BlueJeans, and we saw similar comments a couple more times, which made us consider alternatives. Although with Google Meet, we saw some AV sync issues, and with Jitsi, a few presenters had audio problems, so nothing is perfect. You can read through these comments, and as you can see, there's also a shared desire to streamline the experience and use more forced platforms. Here are more comments as we progressed with some of the changes. We did get some people liking Matrix a lot and a few others complaining about the learning curve. I wonder what their point of reference is. Is it with IRC or Slack or Discord? We keep the surveys anonymous, although there is an option to leave an email address to follow up. I'll have to check if these people had left their emails. I and a few others agree with the last comment. We miss physical meetups, in-person networking, and face-to-face interaction. So the contributor survey is open to everyone, regardless of whether you attended the event, the associated contributor summit or not. One of the questions we ask to those who were not aware of the event is where they would look to find such info. We wanted to improve the marketing of the event and the awareness of these summits. And the responses are quite varied, as you can see. However, they helped us make incremental improvements each time. When we announced on the Ansible subreddit, We now will pin the post so that more people can see it. We'll tweet about the Contributor Summit several times in the weeks leading up to the event instead of just once or twice. We've added the event announcement emails to the Ansible Announce mailing list when previously it only went out to the DevEl and Outreach lists. The last point needs some work though. We have a lot of content on GitHub, wikis, and the documentation site at docs.ansible.com. But we need a proper Ansible community site to call our own, a place where we can easily direct people to for all community-related info. Currently, Ansible.com is mainly focused on the Ansible product. Working on the Ansible community website is one of my top priorities for this year, 2022. Speaking of websites, as we don't have a community site yet, we have been using Eventbrite as our event page to share details about the contributor summits, as well as for the registrations. Using affiliate links, which, by the way, only shows aggregate numbers and not individual details of who has used what link, we get these results for the last three events. Twitter has the widest reach. As you can see, there's a lot of visits from the Twitter affiliate links. Many people will click on the event link in a tweet, but only a small percentage go on to register for the event. GitHub seems to have the best conversion rate, probably because most of them are contributors and would be interested in the Contributor Summit. It also helped that my teammate Andre took the time to share about the event in each collection repo for the last event, which resulted in the most registrations through GitHub links. What's puzzling is that a lot of people clicked on the Eventbrite link in Matrix, but only one registered. It could be because we shared that link a bit later, and many of them have already registered using another affiliate link. Anyway, this shows that our community is diverse in their method of consuming news and info, and we just have to reach out to as many channels as we reasonably can. More survey responses in the following five slides, which I'll run through. In general, we had pretty positive ratings for like the presentations, technology, and accessibility of the events. There are a lot more details in each survey, but I'll just share the overall view of the Contributor Summit with the NPS, that's the Net Promoter Score, and how our events compare to other virtual meetups. By the way, these prettier and fancier graphs are thanks to Greg from my team, the one who's speaking in the Matrix Dev Room tomorrow. So here, the NPS score is pretty high, mostly fours and fives. And our event compares favorably with others, with other virtual meetups. This is from the third event in 2020, with the Ansible Fest happening in the same week, boosting the interest for Contributor Summit as well. Many more people attended and responded to the survey, as you can see here, the numbers. Given the large sample size, it's really reassuring to see the sustained high scores for both. First event in 2021, even higher score than the last time, with more responses for the highest value of 5 in the dark green here. Second event in 2021, keeping things consistent in these scores. This is from the most recent event. The average has dropped slightly, but only from 4.6 to 4.5. However, there's a major shift from fours to fives in the responses. We seem to have polarized things a little. This is also the event where we made the biggest changes in adopting and using Matrix. Despite the polarizing feedback, which is somewhat expected when you make a significant change, we feel good about the current setup and just need to kind of tighten the integration to make things more cohesive. Our priority for this year is to improve our communication with the community. we are learning that we should communicate more, that some things bear repeating, even if we may sound like a broken record. Developing the community website is part of this. We are also increasing the frequency of our developer newsletter, the Bullhorn. So it's going from fortnightly to once a week. To summarize, no tool is perfect. If you came to this talk expecting the conclusion to be a packaged solution that you can use, I'm sorry to disappoint you. There's no one size that fits all. However, I hope that I've given you some options to consider, and maybe you'll find something that resonates with what you're looking for. Or perhaps confirm that you definitely don't want to do things in a way that I mentioned. Find the thing that works for your community. Prioritize accessibility, minimize confusion, keep things simple if possible, and keep the focus on contributors or whatever your target audience group is for your events. Consider both the needs of long-term contributors with new contributors. For example, we created self-paced training for newcomers to learn about how to contribute. Replace contributors with the type of participants at your events. Communicate widely and often. Regularly poll for feedback so you can eliminate pain points raised by the community, especially if the same point is raised multiple times. Rinse and repeat. I do miss face-to-face events terribly. However, I have come to appreciate how virtual events can provide new opportunities to connect. And as long as we have the desire to establish and stay connected, we will always find ways to do so. Try different tools and formats, fail many times along the way, and learn from it all. Thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to take any questions and comments.
Thank you so much for that talk. There are some questions, and if you do have any questions, please feel free to put them in the chat and vote for the ones that you want answered by using the thumbs up. But the first question here is, I struggle to know how often to repeat messages to the community. What do you mean specifically when you say that some things are worth repeating regularly?
I mean like messages that you want to make sure that enough people see it. And oftentimes, like, for example, if you follow something on Twitter, you may not see it at the time of day, you know, when you check in. So something like Twitter, you want to make sure that you send it a few times so that different people in different time zones or, you know, different days of the week can see it. And same thing with chat, even though there's usually a back.